Good morning. My name is Carolina, and I will be your conference operator. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to the Mayo Cable's earnings conference call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. There will be a question and answer session after the speaker's opening remarks, and instructions will be given at that time. Thank you. I will now turn the call over to Kenya Vargas with iAdvise Corporate Communications for opening remarks.
Thank you, and welcome to Mega Cable's second quarter 2019 conference call. At this time, I would like to introduce Mega Cable's management and today's presenters. Mr. Enrique Yamuni Robles, Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Raimundo Fernandez, Deputy Chief Executive Officer, and Mr. Luis Setter, Chief Financial and Administrative Officer. They will be discussing the quarterly results before moving on to the Q&A session. It is important to mention that certain comments made today may constitute forward-looking statements, which do not account for future economic circumstances, the company's performance, or financial results. These are subject to various conditions and could materially change throughout the year. Please review the complete disclaimer presented in the financial earnings report that was issued yesterday. You may contact us at 212-406-3696 if you didn't receive the quarterly report or if you need any assistance. At this point, I would like to turn the call over to Mr. Enrique Yamuni to begin his presentation. Please go ahead, Mr. Yamuni.
Thank you. Good morning to all, and thank you for joining us as we review the results of the second quarter of the year. During this period, we continue to see the economic slowdown also observed during the first quarter of the year. Key indicators like GDP, as you are probably already aware, contracted 0.2% during the first quarter. The monthly indicator of industrial activity published by the National Institute of Statistics and Geography reflected a 2.1% decrease during the month of June. And a figures released by the Mexican Social Security Institute during the first 6 months of the year, only 290,000 jobs were created, way below the estimated for this period. Megacable adopted measures aimed at mitigating these effects to the highest degree possible. For us, this means a conservative sales strategy that seeks to maintain a healthy and stable consumer base. This quarter was also highlighted by zero growth of the pay TV market. The growth of the internet market significantly flattened. Megacable, however, has important competitive advantages, and we sought to maximize these strengths by focusing our strategy and efforts to achieve revenues and EBITDA growth despite the environment. RGUs grew at a slower than expected pace given the aforementioned competitive landscape. However, the company focused on increasing the average ticket per subscriber by offering additional quality services such as XView HD and other premium packages. Again, we were able to continue the ARPU growth trend of unique subscribers, reaching record levels for the company. The corporate telecom segment also continued to achieve growth under these challenging conditions. During the second quarter, Metrocarrier and Ola reached higher revenues while continuing to expand its market footprint. The alliance between these two companies has allowed us to offer a united front in the corporate market with a much more complete portfolio of services that is more attractive to users. As for XView, we continue to grow the subscriber base thanks to a strong performance of the platforms and the great content that it offers. At the same time, we continue working on the operational improvements that the platform will have in the short term, which will undoubtedly maximize the product capabilities. CapEx remains in line with our annual plans. The network expansion and modernization continue to be vital in offering the highest quality services. As such, we continue to invest in this goal. The special projects of the submarine cable and the data center are near conclusion. We are very excited about how these two projects will improve and complement the company's operational and subsequent results. In addition, effective May 1st, we acquired Axtel's optical fiber infrastructure and subscribers from their massive segment business for a total of 1.15 billion pesos. These subscribers are spread to five cities in which Megacable is already present and will help us to strengthen our position in these markets. It is important to mention that these subscribers contributed only 2 months to the company's quarterly results. In May, Megacable paid a shareholder dividend for a total of 1.9 billion pesos. This was higher than originally established in our dividend policy. We are certain that looking forward, the strategy we have set forth, along with our strong execution, will allow us to continue generating value for all shareholders. In conclusion, given the difficult environment we face today, we will continue to rely on our operational and financial strengths to overcome the challenges that arise. As you can see, the measures we have taken have proven right, allowing us to continue growing despite the challenging environment. Thank you for your attention. At this point, I will turn the call over to Raimundo and Luis so that they may provide us with additional details regarding the company's operating financial results. Raimundo, please go ahead.
Thank you, Enrique, and good morning, everyone. Now we will review the operating results for the quarter. As Enrique mentioned, we continue to observe a slowdown in the economic activity of the country, as investment of public and private sectors remain flattened, while there is less money available to the average consumer to spend on the services that Megacable offers. In accordance with consumer surveys we have carried out, the main reasons for subscribers to cancel services are economic. Thus, during the quarter, we continue our conservative strategy with regards to subscriber acquisition, aim at a minimal impact to revenues and ARPU growth by always seeking to maintain healthy subscriber acquisition. Given this strategy, we experience a continued lower level of gross adds when compared to the first 9 months of 2018, so we focus on the higher staying in quality customers. Churn, however, continued to be affected by the economic slowdown, presenting increases of 30 and 20 basis points in video and broadband, respectively, compared to second quarter 2018. Telephony, on the other hand, declined as a result of strategies implemented to motivate subscribers to remain with the service. Now, moving on to results, at the end of the quarter, we reached more than 8.2 million RUs, an 8% increase when compared to the second quarter of last year, as a result of subscriber increase year to year across all three segments of the massive market. Video reached a 2% subscriber increase, while broadband grew 7% and telephony 22%. As a result, we reached 2.27 RUs per unique subscriber compared to the 2.15 a year ago. The video segment rose to more than 3.2 million subs at the end of the quarter, recording net adds of 64,000 compared to the same quarter of last year. On a sequential basis, subscriber rose by 21,000. XVU recorded its best quarter yet in terms of net adds, reaching 621,000 subscribers, or almost 118,000 new additions. We are working diligently on the next generation of the platform, which should include a completely new environment, more user-friendly, and more features. In broadband, as you are aware, the company surpassed 3 million subs at the end of the quarter, recording 207,000 net adds when compared to the same quarter of last year. On a sequential basis, 70,000 net adds were recorded when compared to first quarter 2019. At the end of this period, 68% of our subscriber base had a minimum speed of 20 megs, compared to 57 in the second quarter of 2018. During the quarter, we installed almost 800 Wi-Fi hotspots to reach 8.7 thousand, which significantly increased the connection capabilities of our subscribers. The telephony segment continues to perform and rose to more than 1.9 million subs, recording 363,000 net adds on a yearly basis. On a sequential basis, 82,000 net adds were recorded in line with our strategy of high quality new subscribers. Our bundling strategy focused on the sale of triple play packages continues to shift the product mix. As such, triple play now represents 48% of the total portfolio compared to 41% at the end of the second quarter 2018. Double and single play packages now account for 31% and 21% respectively, compared to 34% and 25% at the end of the previous year. ARPU per unique subscriber continues to rise, reaching a record high this quarter of 396.5 pesos, a 6% increase when compared to the same quarter of the previous year. This increase was driven by higher RUs per unique subscriber benefiting from the sale of triple play packages, coupled with the contribution from add-on services. Regarding ARPU per service, as we stated in the first quarter call, beginning this year, we review our income allocation policies to better reflect the value that the market and the consumer gives to the masses segment products. As a result, telephony's ARPU decreased by 21% when compared to the second quarter of last year. ARPU of video and broadband, on the other hand, increased by 9% and 2% respectively. On the network, during this quarter, we built and activated more than 900 new kilometers. Additionally, we continue working on the modernization of the existing network, including the partition of nodes, which not only allow us to increase bandwidth capacity and better stability, but also prepare for future needs that may arise. Moving to the corporate telecom segment, we continue to record growth despite the economic situation and the government spending restrictions. Ho1a reached a significant increase of 34% when compared to the same quarter of last year. We have managed to close sales contracts in the last few months, which will lead us to a better second half of the year. MetroCarrier continues to grow in both on-net and off-net cities, where innovative solutions with cutting-edge technology are offered, as well as customer service backed by highly trained personnel, reaching a 20% increase when compared to the second quarter of 2018. All these, we're very happy of these results. Now, Luis Ester will take you through the financial highlights. Luis?
Thank you, Raimundo, and good morning, everyone. I will now give you more details regarding the financial results before taking your questions. Consolidated revenues for the second quarter rose to 5.4 billion pesos, and 10% increase when compared to the same quarter of 2018. Excluding the non-recurrent revenues increased in the range of 11%. Growth is a result of higher revenues in the massive market, as well as MetroCarrier and Ho1a in their corporate segment. In the massive segment, revenue grew 9% when compared to the second quarter of 2018, with video going up 11% and broadband 9%, while telephony decreased given the change in the revenue allocation mentioned by Raimundo. Corporate telecom revenues increased 19% when compared to the second quarter of last year. Ho1a recorded a significant 34% increase, while MetroCarrier grew 24%, and MCM increased 16%. In terms of the revenue breakdown, massive market 80% of total revenue, while corporate represented 20%. Cost of services increased 15% during the quarter, mainly due to the corporate telecom segment, given a higher component of equipment sales. In the massive segment, costs rose as a result of the increase in content, labor, and advertising. Consolidated SG&A for the quarter increased only 7%, below revenues and RGU growth. All the above resulted in a 2.7 billion consolidated EBITDA, representing a 9% increase when compared to the second quarter of 2018, with a consolidated margin of 49.6%. On the other hand, EBITDA for cable operations accounted for 2.5 billion, increasing 4% when compared to the same period of last year, reaching a 51% margin. As Enrique mentioned, the acquisition from Actel of infrastructure and subscribers is reflected in all figures and comments made in this call. Considering a little bit more than 50,000 subscribers on broadband and telephony, and around 20,000 on video. Without this operation, our revenues and EBITDA growth will have been 8.5% and 7.5% respectively. Also, the new IFRS 16 generated a positive effect of approximately 54 million on lease and expense reduction for this period. Excluding this effect, consolidated EBITDA will have rose to 2.6 billion pesos with a  48.6% margin. Net profit for the quarter reached 1.3 billion pesos, representing a 3% decrease when compared to the second quarter of 2018. This was mainly due to higher depreciation component as a result of investment made in previous years, aided by the IFRS 16 impact. The company's net debt reached 4.5 billion pesos, higher than the 340 million recorded in the first quarter. As mentioned in the release, during the quarter we closed an additional 2.9 billion of bank debt to fund the acquisition made to Axtel in the massive segment and to cover deferred tax commitments and also some capex. The maturity of these new credits was matched with the existing ones that are due this month. We are about to successfully conclude the negotiations to refinance a total of 6.5 billion debt in pesos and attractive levels with our traditional banks. It is important to mention that the IFRS 16 lease liability worth 383 million at net present value and is now being included in the net debt. As a result of the above, the net debt to EBITDA ratio is now 0.47 times, still under levered levels, while interest coverage ratio reached 19 times, still very healthy levels. Regarding CapEx, in the second quarter, the company invested more than 1.6 billion pesos, which totaled nearly 3 billion for the first 6 months of the year, representing 28.3% of revenues. We continue to invest in the network capacity, the construction of new kilometers, and the acquisition of subscriber equipment. Lastly, the 79 million non-recurrent revenues in our second quarter figures are accessories to the AMX trial we won last year and we just have collected. Thank you all for your attention. At this moment, we will now move to the Q&A session. Operator, please go ahead.
And at this time, if you'd like to ask a question, please press the star and one on your touchtone phone. You may remove yourself from the queue at any time by pressing the pound key. Once again, that's star and one to ask a question. We'll pause for a moment to allow questions to queue. And you do have a question from Miguel Davila with Itaú. Your line is open.
Hi, gentlemen. This is actually Arturo Langa. Thank you for taking my question. I have two. First is there in the EBITDA margin any impact from the launch of your MVNO? And if so, would you be able to quantify it? And then second, regarding Ola, you mentioned two contracts that you were assigned. Would you be so kind as to provide more color on what type of contracts these are? Are they government-related or are they related to the corporate segment? That would be very useful. Thank you very much.
Sure, Arturo. I don't know, Luis, if you want to mention the MVNO. It's really minimal, the
cost,
impact.
Right. Basically, there is minimum cost on the MVNO as we have not launched that yet. So I would say it's very difficult to identify that so far in this quarter. So just consider there's none.
There is none. There is a minimal. But we haven't launched the MVNO, the full MVNO. What we have is a friendly user trial. As we mentioned in the last quarter, we continue to work on the MVNO project. We decided not to launch during the summer. We're working on the project, and you can expect, going ahead of the questions, you can expect that for fourth quarter. We're preparing for fourth quarter of this year to make a good launch on that, and we decide to go with other ones. So the impact is minimal. There is nothing related to MVNO so far. And related to the OLA has a terrific second quarter. And as we said before, we do not depend on government contracts for none of our corporate business units, non-MCM, non-Metro Carrier, and non-OLA. OLA is the one that has a little bit of more corporate sales because of the nature of the managed service and infrastructure. But at the end, it's a mixture of OLA being with a higher growth in the areas where Metro Carrier has presence, not only on the corporate segment. So I can tell you it's part of the growth of the business and the synergy with the rest of the company that makes OLA has this very good second quarter on that part. We expect that to continue to be in the same line in the future to come.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, Arturo.
And your next question comes from Fred Mendez with Bradesco. Your line is open.
Good morning, everyone. Thanks for the call. I have two questions as well. I mean, the first one regarding the competitive landscape. It seems that AMX was, you know, more aggressive this quarter, particularly in terms of prices. If you can just give us a bit more color on that, it would be great. And also, in this environment, you think it's possible for us to continue to believe here another price increase for the second half 19? This will be my first question. And then moving to my second question regarding the submarine cable, you know, in our understanding, it should become operational now already in the third Q. So just in terms of our numbers or any visibility you can give us, what can we expect in terms of savings even for 19 and 2020 if could be something already relevant? Thank you.
No, thanks to you, Fred. Let me answer you the operating questions that you mentioned there, and I'll let Luis go into the savings. Regarding the competitive landscape, we saw Telmex mostly increasing in some of our areas, but we had that fiber from Telmex before, and the prices that they represent so far are competitive, but still we maintain the best offer in the market. The best combination of all the telco companies so far is the one that we have. We have, call it, three different levels of product, from the low end to the mid to the premium services, and we're very efficient. So the price changes that Telmex arises and come to the market, even though you can feel the competition when it comes, and we keep a very good track of that, it did not really impact our marketing strategy, our price. We adjust more to the quality of the services of the subscribers related to the economic situation, not that much about the competition. Every quarter we continue to gain our market share and penetration on that part in most of the segments. We are also investing in the network, so we continue to improve our bandwidth. As I said in my speech, 65% of the subscribers already have 20 megabits, and we continue to upgrade services those broadband subscribers to a better broadband without significant impact for them in the price in some of the cases. In other ones, we migrate and we try to get some increase from them. We do not foresee a second half price increase as it is, as we speak, but we always try to bring a good and healthy balance with the add-on services. We have a good quarter with XView, and we have a good quarter migrating to the higher package than the low end. So we're normally balancing between the growth of subscribers and the increase of the ARPU coming from the existing packages. Going to the submarine cable, we still foresee at the end of third quarter of this year to put it operational. We won't have any impact for the first three quarters of this year for sure, and we will begin to feel the savings on the fourth quarter of this year, but as I said, it will only impact on the fourth quarter. And I don't know, Luis, if you have the impact just for that quarter.
For the submarine cable.
For the submarine, that was the question that Fred had.
Sure.
That when will we have it? We will have it at the end of third quarter, and we will feel the savings of La Baja at the fourth quarter of this year. And again, like we said before, it won't feel the same, the whole value, because we need to be canceling contracts that we have with the existing suppliers or vendors, that won't finish exactly when we turn on the submarine cable.
Yeah, we expect savings for the year, as Raimundo said, maybe more in the fourth quarter, more than the third quarter. But we expect savings from 30 million-40 million pesos during the year. And that will have to do, again, by the date that we will have the submarine cable operating and the closing the contracts that are due during this year and the following 2 years. So once we have fully canceled all those, yeah, savings could move to a much higher number for a monthly and/or yearly basis.
Perfect. Thank you very much, Enrique. Thank you, Luis.
You're welcome.
Your next question comes from Marcelo Santos with JPMorgan. Your line is open.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for taking my questions. I actually have also two questions. In face of the difficult environment, could you please update us on your targets for, like, revenue and EBITDA growth for the year? This is the first. And the second, just to clarify the savings on the submarine cable. So you say $30-$40 million in the fourth quarter. How much could that turn? I mean, just wanted to understand, is that a quarterly number? Is that an annual number? Is that the run rate after you like finish all your contracts with the other suppliers? So just to understand a little bit better how to incorporate that savings in our model. Thank you.
Right. Well, let me first start on your first question, on the figures that we have on our guidance. And we are reviewing our numbers with the guidance, but you have to take in consideration that also we have Axtel, now part of the operation, was not here. And in our numbers in the second quarter, we have only 2 months of Axtel operation on board. So, what we are doing is we are adjusting our numbers and figures, and basically not a great change. We are expecting, again, 9%-10% growth in our revenues, and that is coming more from maybe corporate being a little bit short. We think that the massive market will be pretty much in line. And in our EBITDA, our figures are also very, very well in line with what we mentioned at the beginning of the year. And this is including, of course, the savings on submarine cable and also the operation of Axtel included. So we keep that and-
EBITDA growing, EBITDA would be growing with revenues.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. And related to submarine cable, well, we have different contracts for different capacity that we have allocated from América Móvil throughout that cable. And those contracts were, let's say at the beginning, will be maybe $7 million per month and then wait. So it's a matter of time when we reach, you know, basically $9 million, which will be the, I think it's gonna be the highest savings.
$9 million what?
On a monthly basis.
I mean, pesos.
Pesos, pesos, claro, of course. Yes, sorry. Sorry, I didn't clarify that.
He's talking pesos.
Sure.
Thank you. And as a reminder, it is star and one to ask a question. Your next question comes from Carlos Legarreta with GBM. Your line is open.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for taking the question. The first, just to confirm, Luis, I think you said the organic growth in cable was 8.5% in revenue and 7.5% in EBITDA, please?
Yes.
Okay, that's perfect. Thank you. Just for the other questions, I'm wondering what's behind the unusually high cash tax payment in the quarter, and if we can expect it to normalize in the second half of the year.
Absolutely. The tax payment was a deferred tax that has been there and was already accrued for, but this is something that is not going to happen on a sequential basis. So you can expect that number to go back to usual and less than $400 million.
Okay, thank you very much. And finally, again, just to clarify the non-recurring revenues in the quarter, I understand both of them, both the 99 and the 79, they both pass directly to EBITDA, right?
Right. That was a coincidence and in timing, but yes, they're going both on the EBITDA line.
Mm-hmm. That's perfect. Just to clarify the
sure.
You know, the comparison year over year. Thank you.
Thank you.
And the next question comes from Rodrigo Villanueva with Merrill Lynch. Your line is open.
Yes, thank you. Good morning, gentlemen. My questions are related to I had the same question regarding the non-recurring revenue from AMX, which basically flows straight to EBITDA, and also regarding your guidance. So basically you're saying 9 to 10% revenue and EBITDA growth, which would include probably around 1% coming from the acquisition of Axtel. And is there any other thing that we should take into consideration? Also probably 1% related to the IFRS 16. So adjusting for this, probably it would be something closer to 7 to 8%. Is that correct?
You mean revenues or
revenue.
I got
talking about revenues.
Yeah, but IFRS 16 doesn't impact revenue.
At both levels. Well, yeah, in the end,
sure.
There's no impact from IFRS 16 on revenue, but then revenue probably could be somewhere between 8 to 9%, and then EBITDA 7 to 8%.
A little bit higher than that on the EBITDA, but yes, you're pretty much in line considering excluding the non-recurrent and Axtel. Yeah.
It should be online, revenue and EBITDA.
Yeah.
And
pretty much will be in line with the growth in both lines.
If I remember correctly, I believe the one-off that you had last year, it didn't flow straight to EBITDA, did it? I think that there were some costs associated with those extraordinary revenues for 100 million pesos.
Can you make the question again, please?
In which one, Rodrigo?
In the second quarter last year, you had extraordinary revenues of around 100 million pesos. I believe there were some costs associated with those revenues.
Yes, of course. There are some lawyers and there are some other costs that were associated to that. Yes, that's totally sure. That's totally true.
But not in this year, right?
In this year, there is a minimum and that is recorded there in other...
Not in the same proportion.
But of course, this is an accessory of a consequence of the trial.
But you're right, Rodrigo.
Yes, you're right.
Okay.
We have less revenue this year with a less impact in the cost this year. And last year, we did have that $100 million non-recurring with costs associated to that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the cost this time was very, very minimal.
Understood. Thank you very much. And just a follow-up regarding the corporate segment. It has been growing pretty strongly. Is there anything that you could foresee in this business related to the economic slowdown, something that could impact the business, or you still feel very comfortable that you're going to be able to grow at the rate that you have been growing in the first half of the year, in the remainder of the year? Thank you.
Well, the economy, this is Raimundo, the economy really, really affects us like all different companies, and mostly in corporate segment where we have also sales to government expenditures. But we feel confident that the way that we've been merging operations between OLA and Metro Carrier and MCM on that part is being proven to be a successful formula. And the growth that you can see does not depend on government. And even though economy is down, the combination approach that we have in the markets where we're selling continue to be a key combination. If you get Metro Carrier with the footprint in the different states where we are, the majority of the mid-sized enterprises, they need to increase their network and infrastructure and connectivity, even though the economy might be down. What I'm saying, we have a lack of all that mid-sized enterprises getting to what they need to be competitive. So we're jumping into that wave, and that's why we have the good year for OLA and Metro Carrier. And also we are more effective in selling new solutions, video surveillance, cameras, network equipment. Besides, we continue to bring new portfolios. We increase in the OPEX and the COGS because we increase our sales force, and that's how we manage to increase the revenues too, as we continue to have a snowball in the positive side. More and more strong organization bring better results for us in a market where we believe we can grow at the numbers and the pace that we have. We are very happy that we have that 34% in OLA and 20% of Metro Carrier, regardless of the economic slowdown. We would love to see a better results, and I don't see any reason why we could not bring those results and keep it in the future to come. That will be our opinion.
Understood. Raimundo, very clear. Thank you, Raimundo. Thank you, Luis.
Thank you.
And once again, that's star and one to ask a question. There are no further questions at this time. I'd like to turn the program back to Mr. Yamuni for any closing remarks.
Thank you very much, Kenya. And as always, it is a pleasure to discuss our results with you all. We will continue to leverage growth in our operational and financial strength, always focused in providing the best service to our customers. Please contact our Investor Relations Department if you have any questions or concerns regarding the company. Have a wonderful afternoon, and thank you very much again. Raimundo and Luis also are very grateful.
We are very grateful indeed. Regardless of the economic situation, it was a good result. And something that I like to close with is looking at the industry and subscriber growth. We feel that we have a good close of the quarter from May to June. We start with a low April and Easter that we did not mention. We hold it for the end. And as you can see, the majority of the companies were looking into recover that stagnation. The measures that we took gave us good results at the end of May and June. And hopefully we will continue to have a good second half. So thank you for the interest, again, from my part and the team, the rest of the team.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.